Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Kay Ely, Associate Director, Human Resources Products and Services Division at OPM. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Sally Thomas. Kay, over the past few years, the federal human resource community has been slowly changing from a transaction-based environment to a more strategic and consultative role. Now, I understand that OPM's Center for Talent Services provides federal agencies with human capital products and consulting services on a fee-for-service basis. Could you tell us more about your efforts to transform the human resource function throughout the federal government, and how does your division assist federal agencies with HR strategy and workforce planning efforts?
Well, sure. First of all, I would definitely like to say that, you know, the statement regarding change from a less transactional environment is really true, and I couldn't agree more. Center for Talent Services has two different service models. Their tagline, which is most appropriate, is workforce solutions by government and for government. They have government project managers that oversee government consultants that provide about, as you mentioned, reimbursable, about $70 million annually of human resource products and services. One of the large areas within the Center for Talent Services, of course, is the Training Management Assistant Contract, TMA is how it's commonly referred to. The government project managers oversee about 30 pre-qualified private sector vendors on that contract. And we've signed probably about 3,000 agreements with different federal clients in just 2008 alone. And TMA provides about $230 million in HR products and services, so in comparison to the other part of the Center for Talent Services. We service all cabinet departments and most independent and most federal agencies in five different business lines, and I think that's what's really key. Center for Talent Services provides staffing, HR strategy, training, testing, and some other services. To go back and talk a little bit about staffing specifically, that would include things such as recruitment and branding, rating and ranking of applicants. USA Staffing is a hiring tool, which is one of the feeder staffing tools that feeds into USA Jobs. There are several of those. USA Staffing is one of several. There's other private sector providers of those tools. But that's a hiring tool, and also they do individual assessments. Now, in HR strategy, that's a little different. They provide workforce and succession planning. They do position classification, which is a little bit of a lost art, organizational design, organizational assessment, and performance management. They also provide training, mission critical and core mission training, customized leadership training, and testing, as I mentioned earlier, paper and pencil training that we still do basically nationwide for DOD. And there's an entrance exams for all the entering armed forces. And we actually do a lot of the nationwide testing for Customs and Border Protection for the Border Patrol testing that's required. Center for Talent Services is responsible for Employee Express, which is very familiar to most federal employees. Can do a lot of things automated on Employee Express, and we have other payroll interfaces and other human resource products, such as USA Staffing that I mentioned earlier.
So as a follow-up, performance management, in particular pay-for-performance, has become a fairly hot topic in the public sector as agencies are looking to link individual and organizational performance together. What is your division doing to make sure that agencies have the right talent in place to support performance management programs and that managers have the skills to manage these types of programs?
Well, I think there is no doubt that strong and effective leadership is key for the success of a high-performing organization. Our leadership programs, we have several. I mentioned earlier the Center for Leadership and Capacity Services, and in that particular center, we have OPM's Federal Executive Institute, which is in Charlottesville, Virginia, and it plays a very key role in the development of future leaders. We also have college and graduate level courses, which are certainly a major component of any kind of human resource development program. We have a variety of open enrollments programs to meet specific competency needs that might arise or might be identified. And the open enrollment programs are very very popular, as well as the custom leadership programs. We're seeing more and more of a requirement and a need for custom leadership programs for individual agencies, and we work with them very closely to help define and designate that particular leadership program for them. We also have long-term and single-agency fellows development programs that target and fill agency specific succession planning gaps. So we work very closely with the agencies to find out what their needs are and what we can do to address those. I myself am very fortunate to have been a student at Federal Executive Institute's Leadership for Democratic Society. When I was at the Department of Veterans Affairs, they sent me to that four-week program when I was a GS-15, and I think that was very key in my leadership development. It was an invaluable experience. So we're very excited about that particular program. Our consultants also work very, very closely in the Center for Talent Services with DOD currently to validate and improve their executive performance agreements that they're working on, and we help them to strengthen the links, basically, between measurable activities, strategic outcomes, and compensation.
Kay, as you mentioned earlier on the show, OPM is responsible for one of the largest retirement benefits programs, which covers all federal government annuitants. Could you outline the scope of this program and its benefits for our listeners? Maybe talk a little bit about some of the challenges. In particular, I'd like to hear a little bit about the retirement modernization efforts at OPM to help address these challenges.
Sure, absolutely. Well, in talking about the retirement benefit program, of course, there are two different retirement systems. There's a civil service retirement system, and there's the newer program, which is called FERS, which is the Federal Employee Retirement System. So they're two different groups, and I found it interesting. One of the recent notes that I saw is that we're starting to see a shift to the newer system, and 78% of our active employees are now covered under the new system, the Federal Employer Retirement System, as opposed to the old CSRS. So I think that's kind of interesting. But contributes to the fund are over about $700 billion from employees, the employer, meaning the federal agencies, and then our return on that investment income. So that's a pretty large number. About 2.7 million current federal employees are covered by one of these two systems. From a retirement perspective and an annuitant perspective, most of our retirees are still in the old system, but the change is really with the current employees. So we have about 2.5 million former employees and survivors that are receiving annuities, and they definitely like getting that check when it's due, and we hear very few complaints in that regard. We have about $64 billion in total annual disbursements. Pensions, of course, are based on salary and the length of service or a disability. We administer the pension payments and adjustments as necessary. We have about 625 employees that are based in Washington, D.C., and Pittsburgh, and Boyers, Pennsylvania. Actually, some of the challenges, there's many challenges, but some of the challenges that we have is really rising customer expectations. We have a customer care center, a call center. We certainly get more calls at the beginning of the month, but we're very focused now on, are we answering those calls, first call resolution, what is the abandonment rate on those calls, and we're really focused on the rising customer expectations and how we can meet that. We certainly have our share of a shrinking budget. So we're always challenging ourselves to do more with less. We have a changing workforce, of course. The classifications is sort of a lost art, but certainly dealing with an individual retirement record is also a little bit of a lost art. So we have a loss of institutional knowledge, and how are we going to deal with that? We certainly have to be aware of changing technology as legacy technology, and how are we going to address that? We have several service improvements that we need to put in place, but it's very much like building an airplane that's in flight. We still have to get those checks delivered when they are due. So that's a challenge as well. You know, one of our other many challenges is measuring our progress and really kind of knowing what metrics are important. Are we measuring the right things? I know that we've learned recently that one of the things we were doing was measuring how soon the agencies got a retirement record to us. And we didn't really realize that we weren't also measuring the quality of those records once we received them. And so it's another example. Measures are great, but you need to make sure that you're measuring the right thing. So now we're focused on the quality of the individual retirement record in addition to when we get it. that kind of brings me to my next point, which is talking about shared responsibility. And that's really a new concept that we've just started talking about in my organization with other agencies and internally at OPM. As far as the responsibility of the retirement process is certainly OPM's, but it's also the employee's responsibility and it's also the agency's responsibility. So we've talked to the Chief Human Capital Officer Council about that shared responsibility. We'd like to see some progress in that regard. Certainly communication with all of our stakeholders is one of our key challenges. And communications is something that I think we can always strive to do better and improve.
Kay, changing topics and talking a little bit about recruitment and recruitment tools specifically, could you tell us about your efforts working with major internet search engines to raise the visibility of federal job postings? In particular, how is USA Jobs working with such major search engine groups to expand the reach of the federal government recruitment efforts?
Sure. In November of 2007, USA Jobs partnered with Google to initiate a daily job feed of all the federal jobs open to the public. So essentially what that means is when you go to your search engine and just type in federal jobs, we wanted to come up on the first page rather than the 10th or 15th page. So that's been very, very successful. USA Jobs consists of about 30,000 to 60,000 jobs daily. So there's a lot of jobs posted. We have an average of about 10 million visitors each month. And a lot of this is directly related to some of those key partnerships that we have with the search engines. We provided that availability at no charge to the major search engines, and there's other sites that have expressed interest. So we're looking in that as well. We want to ensure the widest dissemination of available competitive job openings across the federal government. I think one of our major challenges as we go forward with USA Jobs is I mentioned USA staffing earlier, but there's other feeder systems that we also need to ensure are fully integrated so that the back-end systems are fully integrated with USA Jobs so that the customer has the best application experience possible. Our goal really is a seamless, intuitive, and consistent application process. And quite frankly, we don't have that right now. The applicant's experience really varies greatly from agency to agency and job to job. So we're aware of that, cognizant of that, and we want to try to fix that. Some of our current functionality, though, is in the resume builder on USA Jobs, you can store up to 5 resumes. If you keep changing your mind on what you want to say, you've got 5 different opportunities. We have a job seeker portfolio, which is basically supplemental documents like transcripts and training certificates and military discharge documents that can be stored. We have an application history, which is basically the current status of all applications that were submitted. We have enhanced posting, which allows agencies to kind of add pictures and other graphics since it's getting to be more competitive in the job market amongst the agencies. And we have email alerts that actually will alert the job seeker when something they might be interested in has been posted. We're constantly looking at future enhancements. We have a Search 2.0 that's going to have enhanced search features. We want to ensure that we have the mobile accessibility like the iPhones and the PDA compatibility and all those other things that my teenagers know about that I don't. So we have a lot of opportunities with USA Jobs, and we're excited about making those changes.
So along those lines, I'm absolutely struck by the breadth and diversity of the programs that you manage. And I would imagine that this requires a pretty broad set of skills and expertise. Could you give us some insights on how you manage such a wide variety of programs with varying goals, varying skill sets, and perhaps even competing resources?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I think it's really key that you always begin with strategic planning. You always begin with the end in mind. If you don't know where you're going, it's going to be very hard to get there. So we've worked in my One HARPS organization. We just recently came back from a strategic offsite with all the leadership, with my senior leaders, and it was very, very successful as we described where we want to head for the next year. I think it's important that you identify your current and your future operating environments, determining a vision and identifying, 3-year strategic goals, maybe 1-year strategic goals, but you need to have very specific measurable goals within that. Having a common theme and an aligned organization is key. We just recently, as I mentioned on our offsite, we have a proposed HARPS mission that I will be sharing with all of my organization, but it's basically attract, retain, develop, and sustain the workforce needed to accomplish the public sector mission. So I think the tagline, attract, retain, develop, and sustain, is very important. And to help us reach our goals with the very diverse program that we have, I think it's critical that every employee and every individual know what the HARPS mission is and what they can do, what they're doing at their desk on a day-to-day basis that actually affects the organizational goals. So we're also going to be identifying and tracking individual and organizational performance success metrics. So again, it's really important that you know where you've been and you know where you're going.
Kay, I only have about a minute left, but I want to go back to something that we talked about earlier in this segment around the fee-for-service basis of, I believe, components of the CTS. Mm-hmm. So how does this fee basis environment influence your planning and approach to service delivery throughout the throughout any given fiscal year?
Probably, 50% of my organization is a reimbursable organization, as you mentioned. And I think, again, as I mentioned earlier, we have a business imperative to succeed. And basically, if our customers are not satisfied, they won't come back and we'll be out of business. So we focus on that constantly. And we realize that we have to give them what they need in terms of quality and quantity and timeliness. We want to be efficient and effective. We want to focus on the best value at a competitive cost. We measure customer satisfaction regularly. We think constantly in terms of market forces and what are our competitors and what do we need to do to be ahead, step ahead of the competition. It's basically, as I learned in the private sector, know your customers, what their needs are, and how you're going to meet it.
That's great. What about OPM's efforts to support alternative work arrangements? We will ask Kay Ely, Associate Director, Human Resource Products and Services Division at the U.S. Office of Personnel Management, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.